We'll read in Luke chapter 2, the second chapter of Luke. And we'll read from verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both answering them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. They evidently asked him questions, and he answered them. And when they saw him, that is, their Mary and Joseph, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they answered, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And that's all that we'll read. And I'm going to leave ample time. I'm not going to be very long. And but I have a very simple, practical word that might follow along with what we have already been hearing. And so I want you to notice one little statement of what we have read. That statement is found in verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company. That's my little message for this afternoon. They, supposing him to have been in the company. I would take it likely that as they were traveling back to Nazareth from Jerusalem, that the women were in one group traveling together, and the men were in another group traveling together. Mary with the women likely thought that the Lord Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph with the men thought that the Lord Jesus was with Mary. And after they had traveled a day's journey, they discovered that he wasn't there. They supposing him to have been in the company. I want to notice one little word here. That is the word supposing. That's an interesting word. I just want to notice that particular word for a moment. That's a common word that we use quite often. We often make a statement like this, well, I suppose. There are similar words that we use quite often. We might say, well, perhaps. Or we might say, maybe. Or we may say, likely. And each one of those expressions, we enter into a very dangerous area. There's something wrong with each of them. We might say something like this, well, I suppose that they did that because, then maybe we'll give a reason. What is wrong with that? We might say, well, perhaps they went there because, and we give a reason. And there's something wrong with that. And we might use other expressions in exactly the same way. Let me make this then very clear. That suppose, perhaps, likely, maybe, those expressions invoke a motive for what we think has taken place. And you and I can't judge motives. That's what's wrong with the statement. And so when we suppose something has taken place for a certain reason or whatever, we are attributing a motive. The assembly must judge acts We judge what is seen as an act, but through it I can't judge motives. And so when you come to this word, suppose, we are really stating something with really no proof for what we are saying. When we come to this word, suppose, we are advancing a possible fact. And if you stood in a court of law, to stand before a judge and say, well, I suppose, the judge would stop you immediately. He doesn't want your suppositions. He wants facts. They want evidence that is absolutely true. And when you enter into the realm of supposition, so often it's not true. So I'm going to prove that to you. If you were to take your concordance, and if you were to look up this word suppose, you would find that it has the idea of considering or of thinking certain things. But you would also discover that the word is found 15 times in your Bible. Now you're going to discover now that I was a school teacher. Of the 15 times that the word is found in your Bible, wherever you find the word suppose, it's not always translated by the same English word. It's translated suppose 9 times, think 5 times, was won't twice. That's the 15 times. Of those 15 times, there are only 2 of them that are correct. You'll find the 2 correct ones when you come to Acts chapter 7 or chapter 16 and verse chapter 6 and verse 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 26. The word suppose is used in those 2 instances correctly. But in the other 13 it's wrong. And if I was to give you a examination paper and in 15 questions you got 13 of them wrong, I would have to give you about 11%. You failed. The suppositions are often wrong. When we try to attribute a motive to what a person has done, we're often not correct. And the Bible says that we will give account for every idle word that we speak. And so when we suppose something, we're going to answer for what we have supposed. I'm going to mention a few of these to you just for a moment. For example, if you were to turn to Acts chapter 14 and verse 9, the apostle Paul has been taken out of the city and they have stoned him. This is what it says. They supposed that he was dead. If you were to look at somebody lying on the street and you suppose that they're dead and you don't call the ambulance, that would be a dreadful error. Because Paul wasn't dead. And as the disciples, the Christians surrounded him, he rose up. He was not dead. The supposition was totally wrong. If you were to turn again to Acts chapter 16, and you know the story very well. There's a jailer in the jail at Philippi. And there's been the earthquake. And he supposes that the prisoners have fled. And he's going to take his life. If he took his life on the basis of that supposition, that would be a terrible thing. And so he hears a word from the inner dungeon, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. What he supposed was not correct. And then when you come to Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, you have a most solemn one. For this is what it is recorded about people in the Lord's day. It says, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Totally wrong. He was not the son of Joseph. Joseph was his legal father. But Joseph had no part in the birth of Christ, in the conception of Christ. He was not his biological father. He was conceived by the Spirit of God. He was conceived in absolute holiness. We were telling some a week ago on Friday night that act of conception separated him apart from the human race totally. You and I have partaken of Adam's nature. He never did. And so that statement, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, that's incorrect. Acts chapter 7 and verse 25, you know the story. There's a work going on in Samaria. There's a man by the name of Simon. And he sees that some are receiving the Holy Spirit when the apostles lay their hands on them. And Simon wants to buy that gift. And this is what it says about him. He supposed, or thou hast supposed or thou hast thought that the gift could be purchased, couldn't be purchased. The supposition was wrong. You remember that Moses, when he comes out of the palace after all of those years in the palace, and he sees his brethren, and the Egyptian, the taskmaster first, and because the taskmaster is persecuting one of the Israelites, Joseph, or Moses slays the Egyptian. Then he comes back the next day, sees two of his brethren fighting, and he's going to separate them. And it says that he supposed that they would understand that he was going to be the deliverer, but they didn't understand. His supposition was wrong. He was 40 years too early on that supposition. And then again, this is the last one I'm going to mention. There are 13 of them, but this will be the last one. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Supposing that gain is godliness, and that supposition is wrong. There are many godly believers, and they don't have much as far as this world's goods are concerned, but they are godly. There may be instances, there are, when God will bless a person materially, but it's wrong to suppose that gain is godliness. And so he says, from such withdraw thyself. And so the point is this, that we can suppose something about a person or why they have done something, but we can be totally wrong. And the Bible says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. What is being judged? It's the motives that are being judged. And you and I cannot judge motives. We can judge acts. We can judge what we see. The assembly is responsible to do that. When a person is guilty of an immoral sin, the assembly must judge that. But we don't judge the motives. And so they supposed that he was in the company, but he wasn't in the company. So notice the distance that they covered. They covered a day's journey. How far could you go supposing that the Lord is with you and the Lord is not with you? I know that the scriptures say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that is true. But I'm referring to enjoying the person of Christ as you travel along. You suppose, but not so. You remember, and it's been referred to already, that Ruth, Elimelech, and their two sons, Malon and Chilion, they left the land of Bethlehem, Judah, that is, the house of bread. And they traveled down to the land of Moab, and they were there for 10 years. And Naomi lost her husband, and she lost her two sons. Whereas there's a man in the book of Ruth by the name of Boaz, you'll find him, he stayed in Bethlehem, Judah. And he was richly blessed of God. I think we have been reminded that to leave the place where God would have you is to leave and to go to a place of darkness. Hmm. And so there's a broken-hearted woman now. She's making her way back 10 years. And she departed from God. Those were the years that the locusts had eaten. You remember that David, just for a few hours perhaps, he departed in his fellowship with God and grievously sinned and spoiled his testimony. And so a distance covered, they traveled a day's journey. Then they made the discovery and they sought him, but they found him not. And then they made a decisive action. It says they turned back again seeking him. I want to emphasize something that was already said. For the backslider to be restored, they must get back to the place where they departed from Christ. You remember Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, after he has come out of Ur of the Chaldees and the land of Mesopotamia, and we find him at Bethel. And then there's a famine in the land. And then he journeys further to the south, and we find him down in the land of Egypt now. And in the land of Egypt, he's not an honest man. He'll tell a half-truth, which is not correct. And when he comes up out of the land of Egypt, he'll come up with all of the wealth, and he'll come up with an Egyptian slave that will be a problem to him. But he wasn't restored until he got back to Bethel, back to the place that he left. That man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we are told in the second epistle that he was overcome with overmuch sorrow. But restoration doesn't take place totally until he's back to the place where he left. That is, back to the assembly at Corinth. The pathway back, this has already been said, is the same pathway that the sinner takes. The pathway for the backslider is back to Calvary, back to the cross, back to an appreciation of the death of Christ, that the soul might be filled with the person of Christ. And so here, they traveled a day's journey. They sought him. They couldn't find him. They went back another day's journey. And when they got to Jerusalem, they spent another day looking for him before they found him. It must fill your soul when they found him. And what they found when they found him. They found a lad of 12. And he's in the temple. And he's sitting in the midst of the most learned men of that day. He had never attended a school, though he could read. Remember? He stood up in the synagogue to read. He had never learned to write from men. But remember, he could write because he stooped down and he began to write upon the ground. And now sitting in the midst of these men, surrounded by them, is a lad of 12. And we have read in verse 46 that he heard them. He was listening to them. His humility. He knew far more than they knew. He was the Son of God. He was never less as an infant in the arms of Mary or as a lad of 12 in the midst of the learned men of the temple. He was never less than when he was supreme in the presence of his Father in heaven upon the throne. And yet he was sitting there and he was listening to these men. And he, in him was all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But then it says as well that he was asking them questions. You know, you don't always ask a question to find out something. You can indicate what you know by the question that you asked. And so he was asking them questions. I can almost picture the scene. These men begin to stroke their beards now. There's something most unusual about this lad. And then we have read in verse 47 that he was answering them. They were asking him now questions. And here's a lad of 12. He's answering them. And so they had departed for a day's journey. They'd come back a day. They'd search for him. And now they've found him. So let me come back to what was said right at the very beginning of our gathering this afternoon. Does the one who is sitting in the midst of those men, does he mean more to you now than the day you were saved? Do you treasure his person? It says that Mary and Joseph, that they sought him sorrowing. He had an earthly father that was sorrowing, but he had a father in heaven who was rejoicing because he was, even as a lad of 12, he was about his father's business. They sought him. They found him doing what his father in heaven wanted him to do. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. It almost seemed that she might well have understood more than what Joseph understood. And so they went a day's journey without him. How far can you go, having lost your appreciation of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ?